Hello, my friends. Welcome back to English Unleashed. I'm Tom. Today, we begin a long and important journey together. I will talk about a book called How Languages Are Learned. The authors are Nina Spada and Patsy Lightbaum. This book is about one simple question. How do people really learn a language? Not how schools say we learn, not how exams say we learn, but how learning actually happens inside the brain. If you feel slow, if you feel you understand English but cannot speak easily, you're not alone. Many learners feel this way. This book helps us understand why. I will explain the ideas of this book using very simple English. I will repeat ideas many times. I will explain every difficult word. You do not need to take notes. You do not need to study. Just listen. Listening is already learning. Now, let's begin. Okay, let's start with one of the most important ideas in the book. This idea is so important that we will come back to it again and again. The idea is called input. Okay, let's slow down and really understand this word. Input means the language you receive. Receive means the language comes into your brain. When you listen to English, that is input. When you read English, that is input. When English goes in, that is input. Input is like food. Your brain needs food to grow. If you do not eat, your body becomes weak. If your brain does not get language, it cannot learn language. So we can say something very simple. Input is the food of the brain. Without food, the body cannot grow. Without input, the brain cannot learn a language. Okay, let me say this again in a very clear way. You cannot learn a language without input. It is impossible. You can study rules, you can memorize words, but without hearing and reading real language, your brain has nothing to work with. Speaking does not come first. Let me repeat that. Speaking does not come first. Listening and reading come first, always. Many learners want to speak immediately. They say, "I want to talk. I want to practice speaking." This is okay. This is natural. This is okay. This is natural. But the book explains that speaking is built on listening. You cannot build a house without a foundation. A foundation is the strong base of a building. Input is the foundation of language. Now let's talk about comprehensible input. That's a big word. Let me define it clearly. Comprehensible means understandable. So comprehensible input means English you can mostly understand. Not every word, not every sentence, but you understand the message. The message means the main idea. You understand what is happening. This is very important. If English is too easy, you feel bored. If it is too hard, you feel lost. You feel confused. You do not know where you are. Good input is in the middle. You understand maybe 70% or 80%. Some words are new. Some sentences feel strange. But you can still follow the story. This is where learning happens. Now, let me give you a very simple example. Imagine you are watching a short video. A man comes home. He takes off his shoes. He sits on the sofa. He closes his eyes. The speaker says he was exhausted after work. Maybe you do not know the word exhausted, but you still see the man. You see that he looks tired, and you see that he closes his eyes. Then the speaker says, "So he went to bed early." Now your brain connects things. Man looks tired. He went to bed early. And therefore, man looks tired. He went to bed early. So, exhausted means very tired. Nobody explained it. Nobody translated it. Your brain learned it from context. This is very important. This is how real learning happens. The book explains that when learners get a lot of comprehensible input, grammar improves naturally. Your brain starts to notice patterns. Patterns are things that repeat again and again. For example, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm late. I'm ready. Your brain notices something. I'm comes before a feeling or condition. You do not study this. You did not write rules. Your brain noticed. It paid attention. This is learning. Children learn like this. Children hear language all day. They do not ask, "What is the rule?" They hear patterns. Adults can learn like this too. But many adults do not trust this process. They think learning must feel hard. They think learning must be painful. But the book shows us that learning can be gentle. Learning can be slow and natural. Now let's talk about another idea from the book, frequency. Frequency means how often something happens. Input must be frequent. One lesson a week, one podcast a week is not enough. The brain forgets. The brain needs reminders. When you hear English every day, your brain keeps the path. Your brain keeps learning. That is why daily listening is so important. That is why daily listening is so powerful. Even 10 minutes a day helps. Short listening is better than no listening. And short daily listening is better than long listening once a week. The book explains that quantity matters. Quantity means amount. You need a lot of English. Not perfect English, not difficult English, but a lot of understandable English. Now, let me speak directly to you. If you listen every day, even when you feel bored, even when you feel tired, your brain is working. You may not feel progress, but progress is happening quietly, without noise, without signs. One day you suddenly understand more. One day a sentence comes out of your mouth easily. That moment did not come from nowhere. It came from input, from listening, from reading, from repetition. So, do not rush speaking. Feed your brain first. Give it input again and again. Try speaking as well, but do not rush it. This is how languages are learned, slowly, naturally, and through understanding. Okay, now we move to the next very important idea in the book. This idea helps us understand what is happening inside your brain when you learn a language. Many learners think language learning is simple. They think it works like this. First, you learn a rule. Then, you use the rule. Then, you speak correctly. But the book tells us something very different. Language does not grow like a machine. Language grows like a living thing, like a plant. You do not control every step. You cannot force it. It grows inside you, slowly, in its own way. This book calls this the internal system. Internal means inside. System means an organized way things work together. So, the internal system is the language system inside your brain. You cannot see it. You cannot touch it. But it is there. And it is always changing. Let me explain this very simply. When you listen to English, your brain does not copy sentences exactly. Your brain builds its own version of English. This version is not perfect. It is not the same as a native speaker. It is something in the middle. It is not your mother tongue, but it is not perfect English. It is your English. And this is very important. Your English today is not your English tomorrow. It changes. It grows. It improves. Even when you make mistakes, your system is working. Now let's talk about mistakes more deeply. Many learners hate mistakes. They feel embarrassed. They feel uncomfortable and ashamed. They say, "I don't want to speak because I make mistakes." But the book tells us something very important. Mistakes are not random. They do not happen without reason. Mistakes are systematic. Systematic means they follow a pattern. Let me give you an example. Many learners say, "He go to work every day." He go to work every day, okay? This is not correct English, but this mistake is very interesting. Why? Because the learner knows many things. The learner knows he go to work every day. The learner understands the sentence. The learner is communicating. The learner just does not add the S. This tells us something important. The learner's internal journey is not finished yet. It is developing. It is growing and improving. Later, after more input, the learner starts to say he goes to work every day. What changed here? More input. Okay? More listening. More exposure. The brain updated the system. This is how grammar really grows. Not by memorizing rules, but by rebuilding the system again and again. Grammar rules can be helpful. But the book explains that rules do not control learning. Rules are not like maps. A map can help you understand a city. But you do not learn a city by reading a map. You learn a city by walking in it, by driving in it. Language is the same. Rules explain language. Input builds language. This is very important. Rules explain language. Input builds language. This is very important. Many learners study grammar for years but cannot speak easily. Why? Because they know the rules, but they have not received enough input. Now, when you speak, you are testing your system. You are checking if something works. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. When it doesn't work, you notice something. Maybe someone corrects you. Maybe you hear the correct form later. Then your brain updates. This update does not happen instantly. It does not happen immediately. It happens slowly. That is why learners repeat mistakes for a long time. This is normal. The book tells us something very important. Correction alone does not fix mistakes. But hearing correct language many times fixes mistakes. Let me say that again. Correction helps a little, but input helps a lot. This is why listening is more powerful than correcting. Now let me speak to you directly again. If you feel your English is messy, if you feel it is mixed, if you feel it is unstable, this means you are learning. This means your language system is alive. It is changing. And change often feels uncomfortable. But uncomfortable does not mean bad. It means growth. So trust the process. Trust input. Trust time. Trust repetition. Your English is not broken. It is becoming. And that is exactly how languages are learned. Okay, now we come to a chapter that many learners really need to hear. This chapter is important because it changes how you see yourself as a learner. Many people believe something very simple. They believe that if you are not speaking, you are not learning. If you are silent, you are failing. But the book tells us something very different. Silence is not failure. Silence is often a stage. It is a period of time. It is a step in a process. When you learn a language, there is often a stage where you understand a lot, but you speak very little. This stage is natural. It is common. It is necessary. The book explains that understanding comes before speaking. Let me say that again slowly. Understanding comes before speaking. Your brain needs to understand language before it can produce language. The authors talk about something called the silent period. Silent means a time when learners do not speak much. They listen, they observe, they understand. They may listen for months before speaking. They listen, they observe, they understand. Children often have a long silent period. They may listen for months before speaking. No one worries about this. No one says, this child is failing. But adults worry about themselves. They say, I should speak more. I am too quiet. I am bad at English. The book tells us clearly, silence does not mean no learning. Silence often means deep learning. So, if you are quiet, if you listen more than you speak, if you need time, you are not behind. You are not slow. You are building something strong. Your English is growing inside you. One day, speaking will feel easier. Not because you forced it, but because your brain is ready. Okay, my friends, we come to the end of this journey together. We learned that input is the foundation. Listening and reading come first. Speaking grows from comprehension, not pressure. We learned that your brain builds language inside itself, in its own time, in its own order. We learned that silence is not failure, mistakes are not enemies, and age is not a wall. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of English Unleashed. I'm Tom, and until next time, keep listening, keep reading, and keep practicing English. Bye for now.